a lot of times I'll bring the female into the lab, let her have her young, and then return her and her young to the same place I got her.
Herpetologist Scott Ballard is an SIU alum and works for the IDNR.
So we're not releasing rattlesnakes. We're returning pregnant females after they have their young to keep them from getting predated and then get lengths and measurements and information on the clutch size.
And he's talking about the timber rattlesnake. According to the IDNR's website, these secretive animals average between 30 and 60 inches in length. And even though they are widely found throughout the entire eastern half of this country, much of the current literature says these snakes are declining in much of this range. And what's worse, in Illinois, the numbers of timber rattlesnakes are so low that they are listed on the endangered and threatened species list. That's why Ballard was glad when he got a recent telephone call from a private landowner in southern Illinois saying that he had a pregnant female on his land.
If a landowner says they've got a rattlesnake, I generally go out to all those calls, just kind of, you know, let their mind at ease, because rattlesnakes are on the endangered and threatened species list in Illinois. If I find it's a pregnant female,
like he did several weeks ago,
sometimes to help the snake and to reduce anxieties of the landowner, if they say, hey, we're out here working a lot, we've got dogs that run loose, I always offer, well, if you'd like, I'll take this snake into captivity in my lab. And then once she has her young, I'll return them back here, because then she'll go to the den and lay down a scent trail, and the young will follow her to her den. That way you don't have to worry about your dogs getting bitten or, you know, coming out at night, it flops and she stops crawling around, you step on her.
And these cases also greatly help the IDNR scientists.
But it also benefits us, because then we're able to get clutch information from the young they have. Measure the young, see how healthy the young are, but then they all get returned back to the exact same spot that the female is picked up at, because that's probably a birthing area for her.
By the way, timber rattlesnake babies are born live. And in case you're wondering, how does Scott safely transport these animals?
It's usually doing some surveillance or recon on the site, seeing where the female's hanging out. And then once I encounter her, and if I have a pretty open area to work in, I use a hook, pick her up with a hook, put her into a container that's thermally regulated to protect her, and then goes back to the lab, and she's held until she has the young.
And back in his lab, the accommodations are perfect for the mother to give birth to her young.
And then I usually set them up with a hot spot in a cage and several rocks to hide under, because a lot of times in the wild they do have them under rocks. When she's given birth, she's kind of out there, and I know at least with egg-laying snakes, you know, they may pop out an egg every 30 minutes, and when they're doing that, they're having these uterine muscle contractions, and they're just focusing only on passing these eggs. And so I'm sure with live bearers, it's the same thing. I'm sure it's they don't all come out at once. It's probably every 15 or 20 minutes they'll pass another, and then they've got to rest and relax. It's like a woman giving birth to 10 children. I mean, it's a long, gradual process, and each time it takes so much out of the mother with the smooth muscle contractions that it takes time, and then they're very tired at the end. And so, yeah, it's quite the process. 9 times out of 10, I don't get to see them birth. I'll wake up in the morning and go down and check on them, and there they are, all these little ones that are crawling around.
And for those few listeners who might be a bit uncomfortable around snakes, keep in mind snakes have a huge fear of us.
They are. They're very afraid. I mean, you can imagine how any mother would feel when they feel their young are in danger. And if this snake had no contact with humans before, I'm sure it viewed me as this large predator that was going to kill her and her babies. So they are very, and actually with the timber rattlesnakes, they are more afraid of you than you are of them. If you step on one or try to pick it up, certainly it may bite, but so would a strange dog or cat, a squirrel, a raccoon, or any other wild animal. So it's always best when you see them not to kill them, because they are on the state's endangered and threatened species list, but just leave them alone and let them do their jobs.
And what is their job? Well, here's a question. Which would you rather have? Many, many more mice and rats and all the ticks that live on those mice and rats, or more snakes?
They're very efficient in rodent control, and there was a study done out east that actually found in areas where there were timber rattlesnakes, the tick density was was less because the rattlesnakes are eating, on average, one snake's eating a pillowcase full of rats and mice each year, and mice are the number one carriers of ticks. So if they're consuming these and reducing the tick population, that's also good for us.
That was IDNR herpetologist Scott Ballard. In addition to his work in the field, Ballard can also be found often leading public education programs about the rich variety of reptiles and amphibians found in Illinois. You can learn more on our website. For WSIU In Focus, I'm Kevin Boucher.